What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. This is Resistance in Residence, where we profile artists using their gifts to change the world. This week's Resistance in Residence artist is pianist, trumpeter, composer, and music producer who dabbles on the line of jazz and hip-hop, Javier Santiago. Javi, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on, finally. As we do with all of these interviews, we like to start from the beginning. I'm wondering if you have a clear memory from when you were a kid about falling in love with music or becoming intensely focused on it. What really pulled you in?
That's a great question. I got to really dig deep here in the recesses of my memory. There's a few, but I remember vividly learning how to play piano for the first time, like actually getting like a real piano lesson. It was from my dad, who's a musician as well. He's a drummer by the name of Max Santiago, but he was teaching me the chords to La Bamba, which is like a pretty simple chord progression, the Ritchie Valens song, for those that don't know, La Bamba. Yeah, and like that was kind of like the start of everything. So I just remember just playing like chords on the piano, like actual chords for the first time. That was pretty cool.
And the rest is history. So you grew up with two parents who were both musicians. Is that right?
Correct.
I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about what it was like for you to grow up in a musical household where both your parents were professional musicians, and how that impacted your ability to focus on music and your passion in that way.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was inspiring. And also, I mean, my parents created like a really great environment for me to foster my creativity and just my love for music by just playing great music all the time around the house and showing me like technical aspects of music. Like I was saying, like my dad teaching me how to play piano. They were just really encouraging. And luckily like not like super forceful either. Like they weren't like, you need to do this, like, you know, or else, yeah, you know, we're going to punish you. Like, no, it was like very much, very just, like I said, encouraging and just, just free sort of environment for me to, you know, pursue, you know, my love for music and everything. And, my mother, she kind of stopped playing professionally, but she's a singer. But she definitely was like still kind of like showing me things. Yeah, I would say, yeah, that's the gist of it.
I'm wondering, last question about your childhood and your parents here, but if there are parts of your parents' musicianship that you see in your own playing now, and then if there's things that you can specifically identify as, like, these are things that I've developed independently.
Yeah, oh, that's a good question. Yeah, I mean, it's almost, like, analogous to my personality or like my just the way I think and the way I am. Like it's very much that, as well as just my musical identity was formed by them so much, and they just made such a big impact on me. But yeah, like literally the way I feel, like the beat, you know, like it comes from my dad for sure. Like the way he plays the drums, like that's how I, you know, feel like time, you know. So that's a big one. Like, and then my mother, like she sings with like a really like straight, tone. Like she doesn't use a lot of vibrato or like too many like sort of inflections. It's pretty like simple and like straightforward. And I feel like I totally like have her voice, like when I sing, and also just like the way I hear melodies, you know. It's like, and I think everyone is influenced by their mother singing, you know what I mean? Like lullabies and things like that. Like we're all, it's like, and it's very much, yeah, this thing that you just kind of absorb as a child. But, yeah, it's, Yeah, I can totally hear that in my playing, like for sure. Like just the way I feel time, like is very much my dad, like kind of, it's basically, you know, instilled like this sense of rhythm in me. So, and his dad was also a percussionist. So it's kind of like just runs in my blood. And I'm also a percussionist technically too, because I play piano. So.
And piano as a percussion instrument. I have to ask, this is actually my last question about your family, but with the variety of musical talent there, is there any version of a family band?
You know what? There has been small iterations of this family band, usually on holidays, in our house, like, and we're like, you know, half drunk kind of like it'll happen seldomly, but I need to do an official, you know, a family band, like, you know, maybe like a record or something. I'm an official project. I'm going to work on that. So thank you for bringing that up.
I'm looking forward to hearing it. So you are professionally a keyboardist and trumpet player. And I'm wondering if you can talk about how those became your instruments in a context where they're extremely different instruments. You already reference piano as a percussive instrument. Obviously, any instrument has a lot to do with rhythm. But those are extremely different, and particularly the technique involved is a whole different world of things.
Absolutely. Yeah, so different. And trumpet, I mean, I guess you could say it's my second instrument. I think it's safe to say that. Piano is definitely my first instrument. I started when I was 4. I picked up the trumpet when I was about like 10 or 11 years old because I just wanted to play music in school. I was like, if music was going to be an option, you know, to do in school, I was like, I'm definitely going to play music. But there was no piano in band, you know, no piano in orchestra. So I chose trumpet. But yeah, I mean, it's also a very demanding instrument, very unforgiving. You have to maintain your chops. Like if you quit for like a few days, like it kind of sets you back a little bit on trumpet just to maintain your embouchure, like the way your mouth is. So yeah, it's vastly different. And I'm totally like, I'm really working on just like being consistent with my trumpet playing, cause it's not the most consistent. I don't work on trumpet as much as I do on piano as like a sideman, you know, playing in different bands. I'm freelance, you know, I'm not, yeah. So trumpet is definitely like, it's like the worst second instrument to pick, but, but also the best. Cause I love it. I just love playing horn. I love playing one note, you know, and like being able to mold it and shape it and articulate the way I want. Whereas piano, you know, it's just like, you're just plucking a string and you can't even really like, you know, change it. Like guitar, you know, you can't use vibrato or like any type of effects. You have to, you know, it's just like a straight tone with the piano. So yeah, trumpet just gives me a lot of freedom in that way. And I just love to, yeah, I just love to like sing through the trumpet. You know, I feel like my voice can kind of shine through a little in a different way.
I always appreciate keyboard and piano players because great keyboard and piano players like yourself, because you all have an incredible sense of harmony. But then once you add a second instrument, you can really develop that harmony into melody, which in other ways, which I really appreciate. I want to talk a little bit more about where you're at now, but one more before we get there. You've been a musician in Minneapolis, New York, Oakland, and LA now. I'm wondering if you can talk us through some of your musical development. And you've gotten some recognition in some of those places as well. What are some of the programs you've been through, and how have they formed you musically?
That's a great question. Yeah. Each of those places like is near and dear to my heart, especially in terms of, and it was just so influential in my development as a musician and an artist. You know, Minneapolis is like, it's a very like artistic place. And I feel like it's kind of slept on a little bit. People don't really know about Minneapolis. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's in Minnesota, and it's about 8 hours north of Chicago driving. It's by Canada, you know, it's really out there, but it's actually a beautiful, place. And I was really, you know, fortunate to be from there. There's a lot of great artists from there. I mean, namely, first and foremost, Prince. You know, you can't forget Prince is from there. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, they produced for Janet Jackson and a bunch of other artists. Mid Condition is from there. It's a really soulful city. And
Jose James is also from there, right?
Jose James is from there. That's right. Yeah. We went to the same high school, South High. Go Tigers. Corey Wong's from there. Like, there's a lot of up-and-coming, and like, well, I won't even say up-and-coming, but newer artists that are coming out of there that are amazing. But anyway, some great, like, youth programs there, just, like, good, like, good. I had a great education there. And then, you know, New York was kind of, like, that was my dream as a jazz musician, you know, in terms of, like, jazz. I mean, that's, like, pretty much almost not necessarily the birthplace, but that's, like, the mecca of jazz, you know. And so I made my, quote-unquote, pilgrimage to New York as, like, a 19-year-old and, like, was just, like, so inspired and fell in love with that place. I mean, for many reasons, but as a musician, you know, best musicians in the world are there, in my opinion. I mean, there's great, amazing musicians all over the world, but the highest concentration of, like, you know, I mean, it's just, like, I went there and it was just immediate, like, butt kicking, like, just, I totally, like, you know, everywhere you go, there's just, like, amazing pianists and I'm just, like, wow, okay, I'm just, like, another guy out here, like, and I'm like, you know, it's a big pond, it's the biggest pond. But just the inspiration I got from there and just like the, how I learned so much. And I attended school there as well, the new school. I attended the Brubeck Institute, which is in Stockton, California. Really unique program. I could go on and on, but like, I guess I can skip over to the Bay Area. My dad is actually, he's from the North Bay. He's from like Guerneville. He grew up in like LA and then moved to Guerneville when he was a teenager. So I have like tons of family over there. I grew up like flying into San Francisco, going to the North Bay, but like, you know, I love like, you know, I mean, just what an amazing community and, just has the perfect mix of like a bigger pond, but also it's like a small city. And I just feel like, it's like, just like the level was just like of musicianship was amazing there. Cause I wanted to leave New York cause it just got to be too much for me. So, just in terms of like, I just got crowded and I felt claustrophobic and, you know, it's tough. So Bay Area was like a perfect mix of like, you know, opportunities to play and like, just build with musicians there. Has its own like really unique and like rich history of and legacy of like music and so many other things and activism and, you know, art and, you know, everything. It's just like, yeah, I mean, I could go on and on, but
And then tell us what brought you south to LA.
Yes. And then finally, about 3 years ago, I applied for the Hancock Institute, formerly the Monk Institute, which is a college program, a master's degree program at UCLA. I got into that. And I attended that for 2 years and had an amazing experience working with studying and playing with like Herbie Hancock, Billy Childs. Like amazing guest artists came through there. And like that was kind of my entrance into LA, which is where I am now. And so, you know, LA is a huge hub for music, as we all know, entertainment. So. Yeah.
You already mentioned some work you've been able to do with Herbie Hancock and Billy Childs. I'm wondering if you can talk about some of the collaborative experiences you've had either in your own projects, but also performing and touring with other folks since you've been down in LA for the past 3 or so years.
Yeah. Once I got to LA, it was pretty, I just hit the ground running and I was in school at the Hancock Institute studying with Herbie Hancock. He would come and teach us. It was a basically a program consisted of a band, an 8-piece band that he selected, as well as some other artists like Ambrose Akinmusiri was on the board of he was at the audition and like selected us. And basically we got to study with Herbie Hancock and some other guest artists. Eventually we actually the first year we in the spring we went to Jordan, the country, and went on a State Department tour with Herbie Hancock and played with him and Yeah, it was like amazing. We played in these amazing venues. Like one of them was like this these ancient ruins, that were like on. Yeah, it was incredible. It was like a dream come true for me. I mean, he's one of my favorite artists, probably arguably like my top favorite like artist. Just the way he, you know, through each like decade has like a, you know, innovated in music and just been so like relevant and yeah, he's just incredible pianist, you know, obviously. But
so yeah. Javi, I know we need to let you go real soon, but you just released a new album that's called Warrior Energy. I'm wondering if you could tell listeners about the album and use words to describe some of the sonic experience that listeners would hear.
Yeah, so the new album, it's entitled Warrior Energy, and the theme is just, you know, having just igniting a passion within you to like fight for what you believe in, fight with love, you know, at the core of it. And it's just really supposed to motivate you. It's very, I would say it's like kind of cinematic, very epic, lots of orchestration with like layers of synthesizers, and there's some strings on it. Yeah, just epic is definitely the choice word for me. Like it's not like the most chill record you'll hear. It can be pretty intense, I would say. And that's definitely like the concept behind it. But yeah, it features Gene Coy on drums, Justin Brown, Benjamin Ring, a great vocalist based in LA, by the name of Sharda Shashadar. If you haven't heard her, please check her out. She's incredible. Also a great alto saxophonist, Devin Daniels, another great artist based here in LA. I think that kind of sums it up.
Yeah, if folks were to listen to one song as an entry point from the album, which song would you recommend?
That's a good question. I would say listen to the second or third track. The second track is Warrior Energy, the title track. That definitely is a good like kind of like entrance to the album. The first track is cool too, obviously, but I think the second track kind of really encapsulates what the album is about, as well as the third track. It's called Apocalyptic Hero. It just kind of has more of that that kind of cinematic sort of vibe to it.
Javier Santiago, how can people follow you, stay in touch, and check out your music?
Please. I'm on all the platforms, all the streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music. My website is javiersantiagomusic.com. My handle on Instagram is at Javier Santiago Music. Can't go wrong if you look up Javier Santiago Music on Google. Bandcamp. Please, you know, if you want to buy the record, purchase it on Bandcamp. More money goes to the artist that way. But if not, stream it. And I really appreciate everyone listening. And thank you so much, Jesse, for having me on, man. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure to have you on. That's the voice of Javier Santiago, our week's Resistance in Residence artist. Javi, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA, that's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. Our Resistance in Residence theme music was composed by Jesse Strauss. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis. And subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listeners. If you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.